Jared leans in. There's the snap. Jared on the end around. Gives it to Amon-Ra. He's going to throw it to Jared. It's on the line to the end zone. Jared Goff. Oh, baby, on the receiving end of a pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, Ben Johnson, I see you too. That is beautiful stuff.
And with that, we start the Tolo Tuesday edition of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Well, some of us
are here. I'm here. So you're here. Peyton's here. I don't see him.
I got three missed calls, and I knew exactly what was happening.
Yo, Bobby.
Yeah, I know.
You gonna make it to work on time this week?
Yeah.
You going out, Roy.
He said, I either have to quit. He's I just have to quit or I have to sleep at the station. I don't know what's happening in my life. I don't know what's happening to me over the past month. I can't fathom it. Now, yesterday, for the first time that I can remember, a couple minutes late, got caught up at the gas station, but I just can't process something in his mind. Is not telling
he doesn't
him
sleep
to wake up.
Yeah, he doesn't sleep. He needs to relax. He doesn't sleep. And he probably went to bed at 2 a.m. and he just fell asleep right through it.
He starts all these stupid projects at like 7 or 8 p.m. Yesterday. This was 10 hours ago. What's 10 hours ago? What time is that?
8 p.m.
I know most of them, but tell me some of your favorite up-and-coming cowboy content creators. I'm always interested in consuming and amplifying good work. No! From now on, here's the rule. After 5 p.m., I'm not going to see... There's to be no more stupid new projects. Nothing. After 5 p.m. That is what rabbit hole he ends up going down.
He goes into rabbit holes, man. Like
the number of chat GPTs... That this kid creates for everything. Now, some of it is helpful. Analyze our show metrics. Read all the fan texts and tell us the feedback on our different personalities. The other day, I saw him say, hey, everyone needs to be on all the platforms, right? Here's my YouTube page. No. You don't have to be on all the platforms.
You know what I do at 8 o'clock at night? I just get on Instagram. And I'm just scrolling probably for an hour or two.
Talk to your children.
Yes. Enjoy your kids. Yeah, start buy a house and start an outdoor project because the outdoor project ends when this thing called the sun sets and you can't do it anymore, right? That's the beauty of those things.
So there's something like...
We also need to get him one of those home Alexa Google thingies, have him set it up, and then that's the alarm. So I set that every day. That alarm goes off, right? My Google goes off. And I got to wake up and tell it to stop or it won't stop.
Right.
And then you just get up because you're already awake. And you're speaking.
Or set the phone like across the room.
Across the room.
Where you have to get up. Now you're going to wake up your wife probably.
Yeah.
With maybe the third alarm, the third ring going off.
Yeah.
But there's something in his brain that is not clicking to get his big ass out of bed when it's ringing off.
It's not. I set a second alarm. I never get to it. By the time my second alarm goes off, I've already made my coffee. I set it like 10 minutes later. I've already made my coffee. I just get up. That doesn't mean that he has to do it like that. He can hit a snooze, but it's obvious he's not either setting it or it's not going or it's not working, which that would blow my mind that it's not working.
Can you imagine if he waits this entire time and he does all the legwork and coming up through the ranks and busting his balls and trying to be the insider, and then you get fired from the morning show on the home of the Dallas Cowboys because you can't make it into your 6 o'clock start time, not your 5:30 start time, your 6 o'clock start time. And there's a lot of people, it's hard to explain, Choppy, maybe you can do a better job than me. There's a lot of people, they don't understand how we're like not even more pissed. And how there's not like stronger, more serious repercussions. Stronger, more serious repercussions means more workload for us.
Yeah.
But why not more pissed? I guess it's because, at least for me, like I don't think it's not like out of laziness and
sloppiness. No, it's out of stupidity.
He's working too hard on one side. And then it ends up costing him in terms of like being able to get up energy-wise. But he's working on stupid crap. No one cares about your YouTube page. No one cares about what Cowboy content followers you create. But he just gets going, and I don't know. It may have to be no Adderall after 5 p.m. as well.
Time blind. It's time blind. Does he take Adderall at night after 5 p.m.?
God, I hope
not. Oh, if he has a love of the star. He's got to pop half of one.
That's tonight, Sean.
Well, is it?
Is it?
Yeah, we didn't record last night.
If he goes at a Cowboys club, I'm like, bro, you can sit there and do that show in your sleep. So no Adderall after 6. No YouTube / stupid projects.
We need his location. It's the bottom line because here's the thing.
No.
We get his location, and if we don't have a text or don't see his car or location has moved at 5:15 or 5:20, we have to call him. Because I'd rather, call him at 5:30 and him get at 6:01 than, 6:25.
That's a great point.
I got alarm in corner, and then I have Alexa.
Alexa.
Not trying to set y'all's off at home.
No. Yeah, we get it. Alexa, Google, anything like that. Any one of those, because he's a Google guy, right? Because he's Android, so that would work. That would marry with that better. He's got to have one. He's got to have one, and it's got to go off. And he's got to just get up. First time, no second alarm.
And I think the thing that hurts him the most is like his ability to be a smartass just weakens every single time he does this. To you, Peyton, to any Tolos, to anyone who tweets him, you can't even get to work on time. How are you going to open your mouth? You're so irresponsible, and you are so not on top of your stuff. You can't even get to your own job on time like other people can. So you can sit there and mouth off to others and pop off. No, shut your mouth.
Right. Right. He can't complain about McCarthy anymore. Not getting his job done. Can't do that. Right?
Bobby might get fired before McCarthy does.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. And let's go ahead and talk about last night. Holy cow. Holy cow. Every time I thought I was going to turn that off, Seattle answered back with a score. That was an incredible Monday Night Football game. And Jared Goff goes a perfect 18 for 18, and the Lions win a shootout with the Seahawks 42-29.
And they weren't like necessarily dink and dunks either. I mean, he made some good throws. This was just a well-planned game by the Lions. It was a well-executed game. Their offensive line got some big-time holes for the running game. Goff, he made some big-time throws. They looked tremendous. And that team, and now they have a bye week. I didn't realize they had a bye week before they play us. They got a bye week now, which that kind of sucks, right? It sucks to get a bye week to week 4.
Yeah, too early.
Oh, no way. And even the Cowboys bye week to week 5 or week 6 is too early. But this is way too early. But can you imagine, like, the way the Cowboys defense has played at some of their home games with this Lions team, the way it looked last night, will look like coming in.
He caught a touchdown pass as well. Fun offense from Amon-Ra St. Brown. I swear, Cowboy fans know the name of every damn coordinator out there right now. Mm. I've gotten so many Brian Flores texts. I was getting Ben Johnson texts last night. We knew Slowick last year. Do you know who held the previous NFL record for passes without an incompletion? I cannot believe it was this low in terms of what for what.
I feel like they said it last night, and I just didn't pick up on it. Let's go with, is he current?
No. He's on TV, NFL Network, as an analyst.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, he's Amazon, right?
Yeah. Kurt Warner, 10 for 10. I thought Mark Brunell had a crazy game for Washington.
I thought it was here. I thought the Brunell game was here.
Kurt Warner held the previous NFL record for passes without an incompletion, going 10 for 10 against Arizona, for Arizona against Houston in 05. That's it?
Seems very low.
And Dan Campbell, unfortunately, no one told him, and he did not realize it when he went to the post-game presser.
Yeah, well, I just gave the game ball to somebody else, so I feel awful right now. I knew he played a heck of a game. I did not realize he was perfect. I did not know he was literally 18 for 18. I mean, but I knew he played really well. You could feel it.
He gave out 2 game balls, and not one of them went to Jared Goff.
That's surprising. Yeah. That's surprising. So, he had a pretty good game, but that's a good offense. They hadn't been clicking yet either. They hadn't clicked at all this season, and then they busted out last night. But that was a fun game because Seattle in the second half, I mean, they were really cooking. I think they went on like three straight scoring drives. And then finally they get that fourth turnover on downs.
And both are now 3-1. Seattle came into this thing undefeated. Meanwhile, how much time did you give to the first game?
Fourth and goal at the four. Give Pollard around right in, trying to score. Pollard dives. He's in there! Touchdown, Titans! Yes! The 30-point streak is broken!
Tony Pollard, the former Cowboy, whose hair appears to be leaving him, at least if you trust Twitter. 22 for 88, 4 carry, 1 touchdown, had a 41-yarder, and the Tennessee Titans go into Miami to get their first win and dropping the boy genius, Mike McDaniel, to 1-3. When this became Mason Rudolph against Tyler Huntley, I was out and never looked back.
Man, we are sitting in a real kind of tenuous situation with the Miami Dolphins, because the narrative is that Mike McDaniel made Tua. The reality is that Tua made Mike McDaniel. He is 1-6 without Tua. In an NFL where Mike McCarthy's 5-1 without Dak Prescott, and Matt LaFleur's 2-0 with Malik Willis, and Kevin O'Connell's 4-0 with Sam Darnold, and Shane Steichen won a game with Joe Flacco. And everybody wants to trash and crap on Tua, but that Miami offense is fun with him. Now, maybe it's not he's...
Orlovsky was saying, I think there's just like five other guys in the league who could run all the stuff that McDaniel wants to do, and this can be a challenge for Tyler Huntley. Like, Tua was this supercomputer that could actually process it and execute.
Yeah, the reality is that they're just a perfect marriage together. And the problem is that Tua doesn't have the ability to stay healthy. He just doesn't have that, and that's going to be a problem for him. And that's going to be a problem for McDaniel, too. He's going to have to find a quarterback, like you said, who's just this guy who could compute everything and process really, really fast. Because you've got to process really, really fast. How many passes were behind the line of scrimmage last night? I need to go look at the next gen on that one. I bet you more than half of their passes were 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It was gross. It was gross.
And how much is the shine coming off the boy wonder? That's Michael Lombardi's new target. Calls him the DJ. He goes, the DJ out in Miami with his new hair. Yeah. He comes up with some really good nicknames, but he's like, well, what's the boy genius with the fancy, amazing offense? Now, you lose your quarterback, we usually give you a pass, but again, you just cited all the other guys who are dealing with backups.
14 of his 22 passes were 6 yards or shorter.
Ew.
14-22.
Ew. And then Will Levis, 3 of 4, 25 yards. Rudolph comes in. 85. They threw for 102 between the two. 102. Huntley threw for 78. What I got to see, maybe when Bobby, he can do this at 9 p.m. tonight for another group project. When's the last time that three quarterbacks or both sides combined for less yards than this game? 180 yards passing. Both sides.
Man, I remember
the weather can't believe the weather can't be 20 or below.
Right, because I remember there was a Pittsburgh-Jacksonville game. It was like 3-0 or 6. It was soaking wet. Slop. And it was a Monday night game. And it was either Monday or Thursday. It was a night game, prime time. It was just an unwatchable affair. And that game would. But that had bad weather. The weather was fine. There was nothing wrong with the weather in this game at all.
877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. Once again, starting without Roberto Bobby Belt. We have another passing in the world of sports. Pete Rose has passed away. And did you check out the start of the baseball playoffs? All of that next on Sean and RJ.
Diaz sets the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball slowly hit to short. Waiting on it, Lindor. He's got it. Throws to first. Put it in the box. Diaz slams the glove down. He is pounced on by Alvarez. And the New York Mets are headed to postseason play.
How good was that yesterday? Why are you making that face? The music?
Because that call was better than the TV call, which said from 0-5 to OMG.
That's supposed to be a really good booth. And that's TV booth is like renowned as like, oh my God, it's the best booth. What a game. What a game. I don't know if it was the best game of the year. They're saying it's the best game in Mets baseball history. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it was the best game of the year, but I know it was the best game yesterday. That's for dang sure.
Mets radio with the call. The Mets beat the Braves 8-7 in a crazy one. And then Braves over Mets 3-0. Summarize it. What does it all mean?
All right. So it means the Mets and Braves are both in the playoffs. And as Peyton texted us, I think, yesterday, that this is the first time since 06 that both participants from the World Series did not make the playoffs the following year.
Yeah, it was the 2006 World Series. The Tigers and Cardinals played, so it was 2007 technically, but it was the 06 World Series.
So that's it. So the D-backs are out. The D-backs are sitting at home. You know, they didn't control their destiny from that game, but I don't feel bad for them. They had 162 games to figure it out. And now the Mets won the first game in a dramatic one. It was 3-0 Atlanta. They had this Atlanta had this pitcher out there who, see if you can tell me that. I didn't know they were allowed to pitch into the eighth inning anymore.
When you wrote that in your email, you're like, how about that?
How about that, right? What a novel concept. But he had an 11-pitch at-bat, and I don't think they take him out. They took him out after he gave up a double. But the hitter fouled off 5 straight pitches, and I think the manager's like, all right, he ain't missing bats anymore. They just fouled off 5 straight. Let's get him out of here. It's just a 3-run lead. They hand it over to the bullpen. Mets score 6 runs in the top of the eighth. So now it goes from 3-0 to 6-3. Braves come out there, and they score 4 runs in the bottom of the eighth. They go up 7-6. Mets come out there, top 9. Lindor, first pitch slider, gone. 2-run home run, and then the Mets win that one 8-7. And then the Braves come back, and the Mets were going to pitch Luis Severino in the second game. And now they're like, well, we're not going to throw him now. We don't need to. We're going to save him for the wild card round. I don't blame them, right? It took a lot out of them in that game.
Yeah.
They basically threw nobody out there. And the
so
Braves,
if the Braves did not win that second game, then what?
Then Diamondbacks would have been in. Yeah, so if the Braves didn't win the second game, Arizona would have been in.
So instead, Arizona's got to sit at home like losers after making it to the World Series. What losers.
What losers. You make it to the World Series, you can't make the playoffs next year? I mean, you're useless. You're useless.
So now this sets up today, 1:30 on ABC.
Yeah, I mean, that is... That surprised me. Baseball doesn't get nationally televised games like on over the network, over the air TV like that.
Tigers armpit in Houston at 1:30.
They always get the 1:30 game. Yeah, screw you. You guys are in the playoffs every year. We could take some shots at you, and this is the shot we're taking.
At 3:00 on ESPN2, Royals Orioles. 4:30, Mets are right back at it, taking on Milwaukee in Milwaukee. 7:30, Braves at Padres.
So, what do you think of, because there's some people on social media saying baseball needs to just forget about staggering the games and put 2 on at 6:00 at night and then 2 on at 9:00 at night instead of staggering them so more people can watch in the evening as opposed to, I mean, who can watch a 1:30 game? Right, who can watch? Because that's
we can
11. Yeah, we can. That's 11:30 Pacific time. Like, who can watch?
Hagelin,
that game
though, had an interesting topic about this. I can't remember what the sporting event was. It could have been the Olympics of times don't matter anymore.
Yeah, because we're working from live, work from home,
and
we're
streaming
at work.
That the numbers were big, so times may not matter.
Maybe they don't
as much.
Maybe they don't.
Was that as much of a thing during, like, I mean, you get college, you get March Madness and stuff like that. People aren't talking about staggering times as much or like, oh, you got to load it up because people find a way to watch
You'll find a way to watch. And the fact that it's not on FS1 is a good thing because you can find ABC pretty easily and ESPN, obviously.
So that was yesterday setting us up for the real start of the baseball playoffs today, here on your home of the Rangers and the World Series champs. You can still say it for a few more weeks.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, the breaking news happening that Pete Rose passes away at the age of 83.
And I was when this was texted, I was like, whoa, this is stunning. I had no idea. Like, I knew that, you know, he was like, you know, getting older. Obviously, he's in his 80s. And if you'd seen videos of him, you know, he does those cameo videos. Any way to make a buck, right?
Yeah.
He does those cameo videos, and he did one for former Ranger Ryan Dreese, and Ryan sent it, you know, it showed it was just like, you know, but he looked old, right? He looked very, very old in it.
but that's Pete. You know, Pete will do anything for a buck, right? This is so sad. I mean, this is like the hit king. This is the hit king and
all-time leader in games played.
He was a tank, just a tank of a guy. Like, he looked like just this bruising, short, small, but like thick. And they're showing all his headfirst slides. You would never teach that headfirst slide. It's a belly flop.
You wouldn't teach a stance either.
No, you wouldn't teach a stance either.
Or his hitting approach,
single up the middle. Nobody wants to see singles up the middle. They would rather you hit 220 and 50 bombs than be Pete Rose today.
So yesterday, my wife started doubting my sports knowledge. It made me look really bad because I'm sitting on the couch and the news comes across that Pete Rose has passed away at the age of 83 at his house. And I'm like, oh my God. And I start flipping around all the channels. I go to the news channels first because I'm like, they're going to break into this. They did not. Then I go on over to ESPN. I got Monday Night Football pregame. Then I go to another one of the ESPNs, and they got one of the Tony Reale shows on, it felt like. And then I go to one of the other ESPNs, and I guess they have like postgame baseball coverage. And I'm like, perfect. Here we go. And I text you guys, and I'm like, what am I missing here? I'm not seeing. No one is breaking into this. And my wife is looking at me like, I thought you were like a sports person. Like, I thought you had like a radar for this. I thought you had a judgment of this because you're stopping down the family time right now to go check out this supposedly big story. And finally on ESPN with Eduardo Perez recapping Braves Mets, he breaks the news to Jay Harris. Like, I'm sitting here for 5 minutes knowing that Pete Rose has passed away. It's like Jay Harris on SportsCenter did not know until Eduardo told him.
I want to throw in a little breaking news, a little sad news that I just received as well here in the last inning. My father called me and I confirmed it with my my brother, Pete Rose Jr. Pete Rose passed away today. And it's hard. So, you know, it's one of those times where Hannah and I have been together on set for the loss of Jose Fernandez years ago, almost to the day. And just to be able to have lost Pete Rose today is a big hit for a lot of baseball families. So it's a tough one right now.
All right, Eduardo, as we get more information on that, we appreciate you giving us everything that you have this evening on the baseball and the news. Eduardo, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Jay.
We are getting you set for Monday Night Football. We begin in Detroit with an early season matchup of NFC contenders.
That's just, you know what? Everybody's just going to get you set. Let's do a preview of Jared Goff versus Geno Smith. This is fantastic. Back to Monday Night Football.
And I kept going back. I kept circling through like, all right, they're going to take over the breaking coverage and nothing. I did not see it. So I don't know what I'm missing. Either my radar is broken or they didn't have their Pete Rose guests and packages lined up because they were just playing their Dikembe Mutombo stuff from the morning. Or they looked at the, because this is an all-time, this goes on the Mount Rushmore of sports talk topics. This is a Mount Rushmore sports talk topic, so I just assume everyone would be all over it when it happened.
Yeah, and I...
Tiger Woods gets in an accident. We got helicopters out everywhere, right, over top.
So Rob Dibble and Dan Patrick used to joke about how they were told something directly by a player about, hey, I'm signing with so-and-so. Like, he told them that, and they called back to the desk, and they told him, hey, he just told us this, and the news desk said, we can't run with it. And they said, why? And he goes, two sources. Like, we got to have two sources to, he just told us, though. And they're like, yeah, it doesn't matter who it is, you got to have two. And so I wonder if it was just that instant reaction was, yeah, Eduardo saying he heard it from his kid, that's not enough. We can't just, like, say somebody's dead and then be wrong about that. Like, we got to have more than that. But yeah, it took him 15 minutes, I think, before they ran the Kirchen voiceover package, and then they brought Kirchen on the air with them. But it's the reaction of some of the like high and mighty anchors compared to yesterday, the way you saw some players react to it and players who grew up like idolizing him. It was a stark difference.
Hey, look, I mean, if I obviously they were not prepared for this, right? So that's that. But you know, at the very least, you know, when they flip it over to Hannah, she has to go with
we'll keep you updated on this story as it progresses. In the meantime, you know, let's do this as opposed to
someone is
over
in here,
to Monday Night Football.
Someone is in her ear going, "Remember, football's king. NFL ratings, 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 yeah. ratings, 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 ratings."
We're ignoring baseball. Baseball doesn't exist. It's NBA and NFL. Okay, that's our platform here at ESPN.
That's
completely ignoring this.
That's right.
We have some guy named Tim. We don't really know his last name. I think it's Kyrgyzian.
Yes. So obviously, this enraged the Pete Rose defenders even more, saying now he'll definitely never see himself get into the Hall of Fame. Put him in now. What a disgrace. And this ticked people off even more.
It did.
And Tolo Chris, who was texting us this morning, saying nothing like watching the baseball games with all the in-game gambling advertisements.
Listen, it was not lost on me at all, the irony that this...
It's not, but it's not irony. I hate that. God, I might have to save this for later. I'll just have to be the bad guy. I'll have to be the bad guy early on. The fact that sports have fans now betting on games has nothing to do with Pete Rose.
Oh, I agree.
It's disconnected. People have the inability, and Chris, you're a smart guy, so sorry to shred your IQ right here live on the radio, brother, because I love you. It has nothing to do with anything. Pete Rose doesn't deserve to be in, and he shouldn't go in after he died. You just can't do it. That's the one thing you cannot mess with. I thought Tim Kyrgyzian put it well, saying it's just the one place you cannot go. Once anyone thinks that the games being played are not with full integrity, that they're compromised, that people aren't trying or people aren't competing to really win 100%, then there's no reason to watch. That's the premise of it. Sorry to be old man on porch. Too bad.
I totally agree. I was just saying that, like, it was just very ironic that this news happened immediately following a game that the Mets purposely threw. Okay. That was...
You were talking about the commercials.
No. Yeah. Now, listen, I think that you could separate the two. Like, Pete Rose should absolutely have been banned from baseball. But he also absolutely should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Because, you know, the Hall of Fame is about what he did on the field, not what he did as a manager.
Yeah.
But I have no problem. He broke the rules. Like, he bet on the worst rule. He broke the worst rule.
Worse than steroids. It's
absolutely.
Worse. I think it's worse.
I think it's not even close. I think it's way worse. So I don't have a problem with him not being in. He broke the rules.
All right, we'll get to it later on. So yesterday, the sports world losing to Kembe Mutombo and Pete Rose. Should Micah and Tank's injuries give Mike McCarthy and Mike Zimmer a pass? That's next and Inside the Star, 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy. And now that he's gotten the sleep out of his eyes, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt.
Hi.
What's up? Go.
How's it going?
You tell us. What is your deal?
I don't know.
Time to go to bed.
Not a bad hour last night. It was like 10:15, 10:30, something like that. It was right after the football game ended.
So what is happening when your alarm goes off?
This yesterday, I think, was because I took a nap yesterday, and so I changed the times of the alarms to the afternoon to wake me up, and then I didn't flip them back.
So what do you think of our suggestions that we were talking about as you were racing in? Adderall, no Adderall after 6 or 7.
Oh, yeah. What time did you take Adderall yesterday?
1 was the last time I took it.
Your projects that you start, you just, you know, imagine and come up with out of the blue, YouTube, your different pages, late at night, getting your location so we don't start the show by ourselves all the time, putting your alarm in the corner of your bedroom so you actually have to get up, or having an Alexa so that you have to, you know, not just reach over and turn it off. What do you think of those options?
They're all good. I'll use all of them. I'm also going to be sleeping at the station the rest of this week. So,
you know, we know you will. I did it yesterday.
I couldn't sleep. I was worried about oversleeping. I came in here and I slept the last hour. And so I'll do it again tomorrow all the way up until whenever this ends.
You're going to get pink eye or bed bugs from that couch. One of the two.
It's all right. At least it's not oversleeping.
I mean, maybe you have to sleep on the couch for a week and just put the phone where you have to get up versus waking Kristen up, you know, versus doing something drastic like sleeping over here at the radio station. Like, how many alarms are you setting? now?
Five, but I changed the times of them. Like yesterday, it wouldn't matter because I changed the time to wake up.
But every time I go to like my phone, like for the alarm, if I take an afternoon nap and I'm like, all right, I need to wake up at like 4:10, I just like in that moment, like set the alarm for the next day. Or can you do it to where the alarm just is always set?
Well, you can have separate alarms. Like my alarm's always set. You can have separate alarms. So you have one. But he would have to change his daytime one, you know, if he wants to wake up. So that's, or you just take not take a nap, which or you take a nap without an alarm.
Yeah, I mean that's good. I just didn't want to oversleep from then sending like prep email.
Have you ever had something like hold you back as much when it comes to work as this? Is this your Achilles heel?
No, and it's been the last month especially. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. I'm sure you will.
I'll figure it out, or it'll get figured out for everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yep.
As Peyton said, you'll be McCarthy will be here longer than you. Micah and Tank were both in walking boots and using knee scooters to move around the locker room yesterday.
You ever use one of those?
No. You? Yeah,
no.
Micah saying, quote, "I feel like I'm letting people down. Kind of thought of myself as being invincible for a while. It's humbling." Parsons says he's never missed a game at any level of his football career because of injury.
Yeah, and he's, a lot of times whenever you hear people say, oh, I feel like I'm letting the team down or whatever else, and it's due to injury, you feel like, okay, you're just like saying whatever needs to be said up front. Or, you know, a lot of times it's just like a you know, trope or a cliche that they're throwing out there. I think Mike is actually reevaluating the way that he plays a little bit. Because Micah has played typically as a guy who's out of control. And I don't mean like in a, like, just ridiculous. Like when they suspend Derwin James because Derwin James keeps lowering his head.
Yeah.
Not in that sense.
It's
more
like Debo. Like, I'm watching Debo and I'm like, this isn't going to last. He can't continue to play like
this. Yeah, it's more just like,
it's like Iverson.
Know when to go down. Know when to, you know when to not push it where it's, okay, that's not reasonable to push it and try and go do that.
Yeah.
And I think this is probably a little bit of a wake-up call for him because he's always going, and I would imagine he probably got banged up doing something like that. And Zimmer's done a good job helping him adjust his perspective on playing within a defense and playing within all 11 players. And I think this might be the next thing that they're trying to get him to understand is, like, you can't just destroy your body in the first 6 years of your career.
Steven Jones says, Tank going to injured reserve. It's probably headed in that direction. So McCarthy, you know, reiterated probably without Micah this week, and Tank sounds like it is going to be a while. So now the question that both you came up with, but Choppy, I saw from you first, does this give any type of pass to Mike McCarthy and or Mike Zimmer?
That's the question, right? In terms of getting them benefit of the doubt for firings either within the season, does it kind of stave that off? I think at the end of the day, if they get to the playoffs and they fail, like that, their fate is sealed. Whether it should be or not, it's going to be. That's the reality. But does it stave off a slow start? Like if they start 2-5, but they're without Bland throughout the first 5 weeks, they're without Micah, they're without Tank, CD didn't get to camp till 10 days before the game or whatever, does that give them a little bit of a grace period? Like, look, I personally think Mike's a fine head coach. You win that many games over a three-year stretch. I just can't place the blame on you, but they did this to him. This was already set in stone this offseason, what the reality is for Mike. So I'm not going to fight it. I don't necessarily agree, but I'm not going to fight it. But if they're just going to basically, because they did, they're putting about 80% of the season baked into your performance in the playoffs. That's what they've done in the NFL. That's how the NFL looks at coaches, right? About 80%. Is the postseason. If that's the case, these losses of players, I don't know. I don't think they do anything to help them. I really don't. Now, they may help them in the first 4, 5, 6 weeks.
You're saying a pass is not going to be given, you think?
I don't think it will be.
And do you think it should be?
I think during the regular season it should be. Like, I don't think you should fire McCarthy after 5 weeks when he's without his arguably his three best defensive players. And CD wasn't there for the camp.
Yeah, the only thing there is, like, you looked, you had everybody but Bland, and behind Bland you had, oh, the corner that we feel is completely competent to step in and do this. and you looked awful. Like, and so to me, it's, I don't think you saw enough in the first 3 weeks to go, oh, something's clearly not right here. That shouldn't bail him out, I wouldn't think.
I agree with that. I'm not giving a pass. Is it unfair that you can get fixed, right? Belichick always looked at the first quarter as a feeling out process. Then we start adjusting. It is unfair on paper just to say, oh, you make a judgment after us after 4 weeks and you don't think we can get fixed and turn it around. But I'm not giving a pass to either one.
I'll tell you this. I forgot they were 2-3 last year.
Me too. I forgot.
I had no idea they were. If you would have asked me what was the Cowboys' record after 5 weeks last year, I said, I don't know, 4-1.
TJ,
they won 12 games for crying out loud.
TJ on Twitter, McCarthy and Zimmer should not get a pass because of the injuries. They were getting slapped around with them, so if they get donkey punched, it just shows they can't coach through adversity. Where did that originate from?
You know, I'll tell you,
who
when
goes
you go home,
just punching donkeys.
When you go home tonight, tell Amanda you want a donkey puncher.
Is that like a nutmeg?
That's the exact term for it. It's not a, you can Urban Dictionary it.
What are Tolos saying, Pepe, about a pass or not for McCarthy and Zim? I'm going to guess the Tolos are saying no pass.
You'd be correct, Sean. The 817 and 214 both say zero passes for Mike McCarthy here. The 817 says no, it does not give McCarthy a pass. All coaches go through injury difficulties. It's just part of the game.
Okay. So
I mean, it is just part of the game. There's no doubt. I mean, if you lose your quarterback, it's worse, obviously. Then I think you do get a pass. You know, losing three guys in your defense, I mean, that's big. That's not nothing. But it's not going to matter for him.
Who's the third that you're talking about?
Well, Bland. I mean, Bland's been out.
Oh, Bland, yeah. And then you had Sam on top of it for depth purposes. I
mean, yeah.
Stephen Jones yesterday on the KMC Masterpiece was asked, do you think that your run defense is fixed after the Giants game?
Well, I think fixed is when you have consistency week in and week out. And I think everybody in this building feels the same way. It's great to get a win on the road against a divisional opponent. But we still feel like this team can continue to improve and be better. And we're not taking anything for granted here. We got to continue to get better. Obviously, Mike Zim coming in is bringing a new scheme and new language, and knew there was going to be some growing pains, and we'll just continue to have to face challenges like we now have with D'Lon Micah, and like we've had at corner with Bland and Carson, and hopefully these guys are all headed on the right path to getting back. And in the meantime, our defense as a group and as a unit's growing, and that's the goal. And the same holds true on the offensive side. We've got to be more consistent, and I think everybody from Mike to the offensive coaching staff and Dak and CD and the players right on down the line, the offensive line group feels like we can play better.
By the way, I think we're getting fact-checked by Crado on Twitter. They were not 2-3 last year. 2-1, 3-1. Yeah, so they were not.
Who said that? Who said they were 2-3 last year?
You did.
No, I know, but we were. Somebody came on with us last week. Maybe it was Eatman said it.
Oh, well, Harris. Nick Harris not even on the show anymore.
I can't remember. Somebody had said that. And
right
just
under
stuck
the bus.
Me. So it just stuck with me.
What I don't like about what Steven says there, though, is when he's talking about, like, well, there's going to be growing pains with the defense. It's like, okay, why didn't you just elevate Al Harris then? Like, if this is such a critical year for determining things, why did you?
Because they're not going to do somebody who's never been a DC before.
They made him an assistant head coach, though. And that's
what
like,
does that mean? Assistant head coach is the most meaningless title. It might as well be assistant head coach. That is a title they give somebody just to give them an elevation of title.
In some instances, that's not what they did with Al Harris. Al Harris has like a massive role in like installing.
Corey Majors, the great Tolo, checks in. Cowboys were 3-2 to start the season last year. Jerry misspoke. So,
oh, it was Jerry that told us that. That's who it was.
Jerry Jones.
I'm sorry. The owner of the team. So I'll tell you this. When the owner of the team tells me something,
here we go.
I assume it's true.
There we go. Oh, you do?
That's what I've been told. What I've been told. Jerry, you know, they say we don't trust anybody.
Jerry Jones live at 8:30 this morning. It was
what you're talking about.
Absolute love fest yesterday for the defending Western Conference champs. Klay Thompson and Kyrie and everyone loving each other. We'll bring you the audio for the Mavs Media Day next.